I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Daniel Golden, it's been way too long, is our guest this hour, and he's done a wonderful thing. We thought, well, let's do a show after the Academy Awards, which took place last night, because in this year, I'm glad we did this, so many of the movies were based on books. When have there been wonderful adaptations, film adaptations of books, and when has it kind of missed the mark, and is it true that the book is always better than the movie? Well, Daniel has put together a whole list of hits, of misses, 2016, those that are coming out this year that are based on books, those that are in development, which we'll look forward to, and books that Daniel has read that he thinks would make good films. And I'm sure that some of you will have ideas along those lines as well. He also, I don't know how he does what he does, but he's got all of these people coming to Boswell Bookstore. You know, it seems like every day. It's unbelievable. Tonight, actually, there's an important event, and tomorrow, a very important event. We'll be talking about all of that with Daniel Golden, the owner of the Boswell Book Company here in Milwaukee on Downer Street on the city's east side. Daniel is so good at what he does. He's the recipient of the Council for Wisconsin Writers Biennial Christopher Latham Scholes Award for encouraging and supporting Wisconsin writers. And he plays host to all kinds of events featuring Wisconsin writers and other writers every single year. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us again. Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here. And you've even came up with this great list, which is on our Facebook page. I was amazed how many of the films from last night are based on books.
It turns out that, according to Shelf Awareness, 5 of the 8 pictures nominated for Best Picture were book adaptations, with the 6th one having a book. The spotlight was they took the articles and made it into a book, but it's not from a book. And overall, there were 10 films that were nominated that were from books. And so if you take out the series pictures, which, the commercial pictures that, you know, like a Mad Max or something like that,
right,
it's a high percentage of books that are films that are considered that come from book form.
Yeah. And was there, among all of these books that you've listed for us, was there one that we just found was just got right to you?
I've read, actually, one of the funny things about me talking about this is, as a bookseller, it's very important for us to know about these film adaptations, because they do sell, but we always have a film table. And in our store, it's not a high percentage of sales, but in the commercial market, it's a very good chunk in the fourth quarter of adult fiction and increasingly nonfiction. So the truth is, though, because I have all these events that you are talking about, I don't go to that many movies, even though the Downer Theater is down the block from us. I get very panicky when I go in thinking, oh, I have to go back and work. And so I just don't enjoy them as much as I should. So someday I'll look forward to being able to see films again like I did when I was younger. But right now it ain't happening. But it turns out that I have actually read a number of the books that were involved in the adaptations. The two that I really loved were Emma Donoghue's Room, the actress for that won Best Actress.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
And then Brooklyn, which
I love that film. Yeah. I did see that.
And both of them were, interestingly enough, I did some research on this because I can't say to it myself. Both of them were actually rather faithful adaptations as well. I did find a wonderful article in Bustle that looked at what the key differences were in Brooklyn, and in the end, she said the secret to watching a film after you read the book and truly being able to appreciate its the differences, but whether it's good or not, is to not see them too close to each other.
Oh.
She said when she saw a book and read the book and then went to the film right away, she got very nitpicky. But if you leave a little time so it's a little vague in your head exactly what happened, you're able to figure out whether the film captured the spirit. And they can't be faithful, as we know from Harry Potter. When you're too faithful, it becomes wooden. And the best adaptations actually took some license and captured the spirit. You have to get rid of things. You can't, you know, unless you want a miniseries or seven movies, you can't get everything in. So
I didn't know anything about Room, and it's an intriguing story. So it made me want to see that film, certainly. Yeah,
it's wonderful. You know, when it came out, we had compared it to something like The Curious Incident of Dog in the Nighttime, which, of course, is a Broadway musical now. In that, what Emma Donoghue was able to do in the first half of the book, which they did capture very well, is this idea that this could be your entire world. In the book, it's told through the boy who knows nothing else. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wonderful book, and Donahue's a really great writer.
Mm. And I did read and saw the film The Big Short, Michael Lewis's book, which is a complicated story, but the film, I think, helped me understand it almost as well, if not a little bit better than the book. Maybe it was helpful to see some of these characters, you know, navigating Wall Street and all that happened in the Great Recession, but I was reminded of how horrible that event was and how it was totally overlooked by, and people didn't care about the people they were hurting. It's an important film, I think, and an important book, really.
And it does take a very difficult issue and sort of open it up to a lot of people. I read a wonderful article from Michael Lewis, because who's now had, you know, nonfiction adaptations are definitely growing in popularity. And he's now had three major adaptations.
Has he really?
Well, wow. The Blind Side.
Yeah.
And that was a very difficult movie to get made. And it had a champion. I think the chair of FedEx or something like that knew the family and so wanted it to happen. And then Moneyball. Mm-hmm. And now this. And what happened with this, you know, once again, it is not something you would expect to be bankrolled, but if you have, I think, Anchorman, is that the films
yes.
that he does?
Yeah.
You know, if you say, I'll do another Anchorman for you if you let me do The Big Short, that's basically how they got that through. And the other thing that's so interesting that I got to read a little more background is that the way Michael Lewis thought of this, it's sort of backwards. What he saw first was the bank suddenly losing tons of money on these mortgage securities. And he's like, if they're losing, somebody's betting against them. Uh-huh. And then he went out and dug out all these crazy people who make up the movie.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's a good movie. And the other important story, it's interesting, there were two films that really were films drawing attention to crises that we needed to know more about. The other was the Spotlight, the crisis in the Catholic Church. That was a hard-hitting, almost documentary-like movie.
Very, a lot of people have said it's old-fashioned. In its, you know, there's not a lot of camera technique, though. Public radio this morning was talking about, the critic from the Washington Post was talking about how if you actually watch the movie a second time, you can see how beautiful it is and all the church imagery in it and like things that might be subtle and you'd miss over if you were watching it the first time.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should see it again because the story is you want to follow the story, which was...
Right,
you
know, exactly. Overwhelming, like you need the second time to see under the surface.
Yeah. The only film that I thought was... And I love To Kill a Mockingbird. I love the book. But I got to tell you, that film did not disappoint. That film has stayed with me ever since I saw it. I just loved it.
Well, we'll see how the film adaptation of Go Set a Watchman does for
you. No, it's not going to happen, is it? I still can't read it, darn it. It's been sitting in my house for so long, and I just can't do it
yet. Don't have to. You don't
have
to. It's for people... The people who want to read it, if you go into it with, you know, we've said this before, if you go into it with middling expectations or low expectations, you'll say there's interesting stuff here. But and now that Harper Lee has passed, which is when the book, if they were going to release it, it's okay to release the book. They should have waited till she passed.
I agree.
But you know, nobody asked me. So
I'm sorry they didn't, Daniel. They should have all people here.
Really?
They should have asked you.
I would say that, you know, when you really do the research on it, though, there's definitely more hits than misses. And I think one of the things that you find with movie adaptations is that when you get a well-known entity, a well-reviewed, well-known entity, it almost like they put a little, you know, they know that they've got a built-in audience and maybe try a little harder on the adaptation. You know, when you look at the misses...
Yeah, talk about the misses.
Well, one of them that I remembered was In the Heart of the Sea, the Nathaniel Philbrick. And I think the trouble with that movie is when they position it is that I think they had trouble trying to figure out exactly what this is. Is this an adventure movie? Is this I couldn't figure it out from the trailer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's in comparison to the latest phenomenon, which is Me Before You, the JoJo Moyes, which is not coming out till June. It's a novel that's been very, very popular, big top 10 bestseller, both the United States and Great Britain. It's a novel about a young woman who becomes a caregiver to a man and who's a quadriplegic and falls in love with him. And that trailer skyrocketed the book to number one on the bestseller list.
Goodness,
and
really?
And I was like, I couldn't help it. I had to watch the trailer. And, you know, you watch it and you go, you get it. Like, it maybe gives away a little too much, but, I mean, you say the, you know, they fall in love. That's not... Surprise! So one of the other... Walk in the Woods, the Bill Bryson, which I think might have been... I think Robert Redford... You know, couldn't step back from it, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. And then the other one that was the disappointment was the Hector Tobar Deep Down Dark, which they changed the name of the book to the 33. And it's really kind of rare for them to change the name of books for films if they get a good, you know, if they have a good title, they'd like to keep it. In the case of The Price of Salt, which they changed to Carol, that I would say for what it was, that was a hit. I think it won an Independent Spirit Award last night. And but when it comes to 33, once again, I think it was hard for them to market the movie to figure out what it was. And it was trouble to market the book too. It wound up being a hit. Partly because Ann Patchett pushed it like crazy. It was on the NPR mm-hmm. book club and things. But yeah, those didn't work. But it's relatively few.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about other books you may want to be reading right now because there are films that are in development. And then books that Daniel has read that he thinks would make good films. That'll be fun. We'll talk about all of that as we carry on here today. And welcome your phone calls. What do you think about the adaptations to films? And many of them were nominated for Best Films. And one of them won last night, Spotlight, the best film of last year. Daniel has put together a list of books, film adaptations. The hits, the misses, 2016 in development, and books that he's read that would make fine movies. And they are on our Facebook page. He was very kind to come up with a whole list for us, which is really nice of him. He's really nice. He's really smart, and he runs a bookstore that's fabulous. And so you should pledge and support books and Daniel and everything like that. It's all good. Our pledge number... Yeah, now's a good time to pledge. 888-202-2552. On air, we'll start taking your phone calls at 800-486-8655 in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and it's your support. This is the last day of our pledge drive, everybody. You got to call and pledge now. We're talking about books, for heaven's sake. Your support keeps discussions about books and this show and all of the other shows that you hear on the air. Our winter membership drive ends today, and we thank you for your gift of any amount. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thanks to the 26 listeners from last
hour. Thanks so much.
Who made pledges. We're going to do some makeup here, and we'll need about 31 pledges in this next hour in order to keep us on target. So please help us out, help us meet that goal with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We really get into substantive conversations, and you don't find them any other places. It's why you listen to this program. We really dig deeply into very important topics.
Yeah, if you think about the interviews we've recently done with the Wisconsin veterans, mm-hmm. we always cover history and national politics, internationals. If we're not covering politics, we're covering books. We love books as much as we love politics. It's that kind of substance that's only possible really with your support. And you can help us by making a contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a reminder, this membership drive, you can choose the WPR t-shirt as your thank you gift for your pledge of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. It's cotton. It's printed right here in Wisconsin.
And it's time to collect a new one, right?
Absolutely.
Your pledge supports the programs, and you'll really love this T-shirt. It's a gray with a sort of mathematical circular design on it. You can see the design at WPR.org and ask for yours when you pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York, and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country, and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Pledge now and make your donation in support of all of these wonderful programs. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. Daniel Golden is in our studio, and we're talking about books, and particularly adaptation of books to movies, one of which won the Academy Award last night, many of which were nominated. We're asking for your gift to these kinds of listener-supported conversations, and your pledge might be $5 a month. It might be $100 a month. We thank you for your gift, and we count on it.
We really do. And we hear a lot from first-time pledgers as well who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college and they finally can afford to give, or people who've turned maybe 30 and realize, hey, I'm a grown-up now and it's time for me to be a sustainer of WPR.
Is that the age, 30, or grown-up?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Giving money to something that you believe in and a service that you rely on is a great way to commemorate a new phase in your life, and we encourage it. You decide the amount, and any first-time donors give $5 a month, and then they go to WPR.org, or they call 888-202-2552.
Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
It might be an interesting story on NPR News, great news service, laughing along with weekend shows. WPR caught your attention as a child, and it engages the minds of children today.
And you make that all possible when you participate as a member. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're still looking for 31 more pledges in this hour.
All right, 31, and we've got, you know, a little over 35 minutes to go. Give to WPR to support all of the programs that you rely on.
Of course, thank you if you've already given, but if you haven't, now is the time. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're a sustainer, or you've already given this drive, or you renew your membership in the mail. Thank you. We sure do appreciate your support.
And yet there's still something more you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join Wisconsin Public Radio's community. Sometimes we all need a nudge from a friend to, you know, do the right thing.
Help us grow our members. Motivate a friend to make a pledge now. Tell them to go to WPR.org. Last day of our winter membership drive, 888-202-2552.
Pledge is coming in. 29 more is all we need now.
All right.
In this next, 40 minutes or so? Today's the last day of the winter membership drive. Your gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does help.
And remember to ask for your WPR T-shirt. When you give $10 a month, it's yours, or a one-time gift of $120. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustainer, if you're not one, become one now. That's a really easy way to just set up a monthly ongoing donation from your bank account or credit card. You can do that also at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may be like Nancy from Madison, who said, I can't get through the day without WPR. If so, this is the time to pledge. Your gift is powerful. How do they pledge again, KP?
You can pledge online at WPR.org or call very quickly, 888-202-2552.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. And it's the last hour for you to pledge to our particular show and to the love of books, which is what we're talking about right now. Daniel Golden is our guest. Before we start taking calls, Daniel, at 800-486-8655, you have some important, and I don't know how you do all of this, but you have wonderful discussions that are taking place with authors. This book, and we're talking about it next week, unfortunately, after your event, but the author of Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City, which is a lot based in Milwaukee. I have heard from so many people I haven't read it yet who say it is so important.
Oh, it's so such an exciting book. Oh, and it's all the field work is in Milwaukee.
Is it?
So it's not like a lot of sociology. There was a wonderful book last year called $2 a Day, and I think one of the authors was thanked in this book, and it covered like 8 families over like 12 different markets or something like that. But he did all his Matthew Desmond, the author who's now teaching at Harvard, went to graduate school at University of Wisconsin-Madison and did his field work here. So he lived in a trailer park on College on the south side of Milwaukee, and then on a rooming house in the north side. And through that, he met the landlord and got introduced to other people. And so the thing that's the book is about private housing and poverty. And the thing that is so different that he went into this thinking, because it's so just like we were talking about other things, he saw a problem, something that hadn't been written. And so much of our literature on the housing and the urban poor is on public housing and housing projects. There are really no end of books about this, but nobody's really written about private housing. And it is most people do not live in subsidized public housing who are poor. And he basically showed all the stories, and with eviction at the center of it, how many times, how difficult it was for these people to find housing, how many times, how often they lost their housing. Just the stats are really amazing. And you wouldn't believe really that some of the things are legal. Like, you do not have to supply you do not have to supply working appliances in an apartment. So now if it's subsidized, if it's actually gets a government subsidy, if it's through an official government subsidy program, the restrictions are much tighter. Mm-hmm. But this, once again, most people do not live in that kind of housing. So the thing though, so the data is amazing. And while it's all in Milwaukee, he does show a lot of statistics that these are very common. The number of people who go to court, the number of turns, the number of times people get evicted are not uncommon in other cities as well. So this is a much more general book that focuses on Milwaukee. But more than that, he's such a good storyteller.
He must be, because the book is all over.
Yeah, he completely brings the characters to life. You know, he does change everybody's names, and you just wish that you could meet them because, you know, they mess up like everybody messes up. We all have the right to mess up. That, right. You know, every situation they get themselves into some bad situations and make some tough choices and wrong choices. But, you know, as the woman who spent all her money on a seafood dinner said, you know, what else have I got, you know?
Yeah.
What else have I got to do but to live through it? That's not a quote. That's not exactly what she said.
Right.
So, yeah, front page New York Times, Wall Street Journal Review.
New Yorker.
Yeah, New Yorker, big New Yorker piece. Mm-hmm. So he's the event at Marquette sold out during the day, but they're letting people watch on video. That's a Mike Gushay conversation. And then we have an event at the store. And I was a little worried that we might be over capacity. I'm thinking that snowstorm that's coming might keep us at capacity tonight.
It is coming. The snowstorm is coming.
Yeah, and then he's going to be in Madison on Wednesday, actually,
great.
Too.
All right, and so. He'll be with us next Monday. So, well, I'll have to read it. Sounds very important.
Yeah, they should have organized the tour around your visit, but, you know, it's set in Milwaukee that has started here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to phone calls for you. 800-486-8655. We're also talking about movie adaptations from books, one of which won the Academy Awards last night, but many were nominated. And Daniel Golden is our guest. He's the owner of Boswell, a wonderful bookstore on the east side of Milwaukee on Downer, and he keeps alive Wisconsin writers. He just works so hard. He brings so many authors to the bookstore and arranges all of these events that are so important. So here's to him and to books. And to you, let's go to phone calls. Jim in Bayfield County, our first caller. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey.
I would like to recommend a book by a Washburn, Wisconsin author. It's a thrilling adventure novel. It takes place in the Bering Sea. It is her son. The author is Sally Baer, B-A-I-R. And Sally's son is a fisherman. If you've ever seen these shows about the world's most dangerous jobs, that's his job. And he had a ship go down. He had his fishing boat go down, and he was rescued, but it was a harrowing experience, and I believe it would be perfect for a movie. But I'd also like to mention that I'm with the Wisconsin Writers Association myself. I write a few novels now and then, and The Martian, the movie The Martian, there is a real great inspiration for writers in this, because the fellow that wrote it, Andy Weir, posted his book free on his website, and when Amazon saw how many hits it was getting, Amazon wanted it for Kindle, and Andy insisted it only be they only charge 99 cents,
really,
for an ebook, for the ebook, The Martian. And based on that, he got a contract. I mean, he wrote the thing in 2011, and by 2015, it's a movie, an award-winning movie. I mean, it's just marvelous, marvelous movie. If you haven't seen The Martian,
haven't seen it,
go to it. But remember, it's an author who did this just kind of like almost like a hobby, and just did really well with it.
Hmm.
And one of the things that's interesting about that is that while a big publisher actually did take the print rights, Crown Publishing, which is a division of Penguin Random House, he held on to the ebook rights. And that is just one of the that would be considered self-publishing, one of the many shockingly high self-publishing success stories that have then gone on to be hit movies. So I have a list, actually. I found a list. Still Alice by Lisa Genova, which that won Best Actress. Legally Blonde by Amanda Brown did not actually go into went into print form, I think, when the movie came out. Now, I don't think the movie was a hit, but Aragon, the Christopher Paolini, was originally self-published and became a film. And the one that will be definitely of interest to people who like The Martian, the one that's in development now, is a book called Wool by Yu Howley, another self-publishing phenomenon that then went on to be published by a traditional publisher, I think in this case Simon & Schuster. It's in pre-production. It is another space film. And I think the person who wrote the screenplay for Guardians of the Galaxy is writing it. So there's a lot of big names attached to it. You know what? I'm not really positive about The Martian digital rights. I know that Wool, he did reserve the digital rights. I don't want to say anything incorrect. So it's possible he gave up the digital rights in The Martian, but in Wool, he hasn't. It's got a lot of things going in his favor, especially because we do actually seem to like space movies on the big screen.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of big names attached.
I like space movies. I like space. Space is good. Thank you so much for your call, Jim. Let's go to Jim in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathy. I just wanted to share the movie Spotlight, which I saw yesterday. What wasn't a movie for me so much, it was a time portal. It prominently features Boston College High School, a Jesuit prep school in Boston that I attended in the early 70s. The protagonist, Michael Keaton, is an alum of the school. And Father James Pollard, who is an abusive nemesis priest, was actually my soccer coach in the 70s. It was it truly captures the clubby Irish Catholic culture that I grew up in terms of the lawyers that were trying to protect the church.
Mm.
I just wanted to share that, but I also wanted to share objectively the book Seabiscuit is a great book, and is even better than the movie, which was a wonderful movie with its outstanding social and economic narration. I just wanted to make that recommendation.
Yes, and she's two for two, because Unbroken was also, a fine book that had a good adaptation.
Yeah,
it's hard sometimes when these books are so successful and well-regarded and the movies are so successful and well-regarded, it's really hard. It's easy when one of them's really crappy, but when they're both good, it's, I am not the one to judge.
Yeah. Mm.
Wonderful, because it shows that the life of Red Pollard, the Seabiscuit's jockey and its trainer, didn't end as happily as the movie does.
Oh, yeah. So in this case, you'd say that
the narration was some of the best subtle social economic commentary I've heard in any major motion picture.
It must have been quite something for you to have seen Spotlight, and for people who were abused by priests to watch this on film. It took so long for stories to be heard, and for those abused victims to be heard, and for this story to be broken. To see it on film is not a complete sense of completion, because it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life, but at least there it is. And that was a good thing, I think, about the Academy Awards last night, that two really substantial issues, what happened on Wall Street and what happened in the Catholic Church, received notice.
Yes, and Chris Rock, through his presentation, obviously spotlighted another issue,
exactly,
with the lack of African Americans,
yeah,
nominated for acting roles for the last 2 years. So, yeah. One of the things that I was going to mention was this, The Revenant, which I honestly, in that particular, that was the one that surprised me. I knew that Spotlight came from articles. I didn't know they had been then collected in a book. I see it sort of as newspaper, but it's all print. But The Revenant, I didn't know about the book. I guess it came out 15 years ago.
15 years ago. Wow.
They sold the film rights before they sold the book.
Oh.
And it had gone out of print. It's now a huge bestseller, but there was a big article in the New York Times that the author cannot promote the book because he is on the World Trade. What's his exact title? He is the Deputy United States Trade Representative and United States Ambassador to the World Trade Organization. And as a result, he is, his ethics code is he cannot do anything for, promote anything for public gain.
Oh my
so
gosh.
What's really interesting about that is if he'd been a politician, like a senator or governor who has a book, they can do signings all over the place. He can't even sign a book publicly.
Isn't that something?
He couldn't do anything.
Oh my gosh. Now there's a film I can't see. I just can't see gore like that. Really, it gives me nightmares forever. I just can't do it.
You know, it's funny. I am a self-described delicate flower, and I
Daniel.
And I'm not able to either. I can tolerate it slightly more in books than I can on the screen. And
yeah.
So one of the things I know, though, is that people like a gory story, and that's why
I know they do.
They really do. And so that's why I'm waiting for the adaptation of the Marlon James Brief History of Seven Killings, because it's really violent. And an amazing book that won the Booker Prize and, you know, is about Jamaica and would have juicy African-American roles. I mean, it's everything. And then a book I just read called The Yid by Paul Goldberg, which, you know, I said it was Tarantino-esque. It's about the Stalin's last attempt to kill Jews before, you know, to have his last pogrom before he's himself dies. But it's a fictional kind of take on it. And it's gory. But yeah. I could stop. You know what? It's easy. You know, like you just
skip the pages.
Yeah,
that's
you go
what
a
I
little
do.
Faster.
I know. Yeah, you do.
You can't go out for popcorn for the whole film. That's the problem.
You're right. Oh, Daniel, we love you. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. He's also put together, God bless him, a whole list of the movies that have been based on good books, on maybe books that weren't great, but books that he would like to see movies made into, and those that are in development. And it's on our Facebook page. We thank him for that. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. We have a very busy hour. We're welcoming phone calls for Daniel at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledges are coming in, Kathleen.
Good.
We have 17 pledges so far.
Excellent.
This hour. Fantastic. Keep us on track. We still need about 20 more in the next 20 minutes. So your support really does help keep the station strong and helps pay for the shows like the Kathleen Dunn Show. And you can do it all at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we have toll-free numbers, so you can call in with your comments, a vital part of our show. We rely on newspapers, magazines, subscriptions, internet services, programs that we get from NPR and other places. All of these things have some costs. So it's your pledge that will help pay for that. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
A really big thank you to our sustaining members as well. They supply us an ongoing monthly donation from their bank account or credit card, and you have been a big effect on WPR's funding. So thank you for that. It makes us all more stable here.
You probably find that the automatic monthly payments are easy to fit into your budget. In fact, now is a great time to, if you could please, increase that gift by a few dollars a month. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and make that happen.
And if you think that your tax dollars, federal and state, also are already supporting WPR, well, you're right. They do. And we thank you for that.
But it's actually contributions from individual listeners that make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support, the single biggest piece of our budget pie. It's you who makes the difference. WPR matters to you. Please make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Please pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. Daniel Golden is with us from Boswell Books. We're talking books and books that have been adapted for movies, and one of them won the Academy Award last night, but many were nominated. And is the book better than the movie? Or hearing some great stories. Well, we're asking for your support as well of WPR. This is our winter membership drive. It is the last day for us to ask for your support for this program. Your contribution? $10, $20 a month. We thank you for whatever you can give.
Yes, any amount is the right amount to give. WPR, you know, we have this reputation for quality and substance. All of your fans, Kathleen, know about your shows as well. And your contributions in the past have gotten us to where we are today. And your pledge today will take this kind of strength into the future.
Pledge your support right now. Your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to help our quality and substance. You count on it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because maybe you didn't think you can give enough to make a difference, well, think again. Listener donations in all amounts make up the single largest piece of our budget. But that doesn't mean that we're asking you for some huge gift that's unaffordable.
Absolutely, unless you can give us a huge gift.
Which
and
we'll
take it and we say thank you for it. But many first-time donors give $5 a month for their WPR listening. You decide what it is that you can give, and then you make the gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we've all been sitting there at some point. Maybe you're saying to yourself, oh, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is the next time, right?
That's all she wrote today.
Today is your last chance to pledge your support for this show during the membership drive, the last 15 minutes.
Don't delay. Please join the community of people who have come together to make this great public radio. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We still need more pledges in the next 15 minutes, so help us out now on this final day of our winter membership drive, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can ask for your WPR t-shirt. Show your pride for the radio you love when you give $10 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you as always. Make today the day that maybe you increase your support for WPR for maybe $5 a month or whatever amount you can afford. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much for all of your pledges. Thanks, KP, for all of you do, all that you do. And please make your support now. The last 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes that we have to ask for your support. Daniel Golden is with us in our Milwaukee studios. This hour, Daniel is the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee on Downer Street on the east side of the city. And we're talking, he's come up with a list, which we have put on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, books and film adaptations and misses in 2016, those that are in development and books that he's read that he thinks would make great films. The Goldfinch is in development. That was one heck of a long book. I did, what was it, a couple years ago
they
now?
My suspicion is that they will be probably doing a little editing there. But so I divided to 2016 means I found the tie-in listed. Like, so every book has a traditional cover, and then when the film comes out, they do a new cover that with the movie art. But they used to replace the traditional cover, but now they find that independent bookstores especially sell the traditional cover so much better than the tie-in that that they keep both of them. Because the problem is that the tie-in cover sells much, much, much better at, you know, mass merchants and chain stores. Mm-hmm. So you want both out. And in fact, we usually carry both. There's usually three editions. There's also usually, for a commercial movie, there's also a rack size edition. And we've stopped carrying the rack size edition, but they're pretty easy to get elsewhere. So in development means that I have found an article about it, you know, saying that they're working on it. The rights were sold. Now, the rights are the options, which means you have – that's just like a loan on the – you know, like you have a hold on it. Tons of movies get optioned. Once they're actually in development, that's something else.
I see.
And so one of the things I found, for example, with The Goldfinch is that somebody was working on the screenplay. A lot of times where you hear about it is they get either a producer attached, like there's some champion producer who's tried. Scott Rudin is an example of somebody who loves book properties. He does a lot of them. And so, for example, he's got the hottest book of the last 2 years, which is All the Light We Cannot See. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell, and it's possible I just didn't have enough time to research. I couldn't tell if there was an actor attached to it or not. But for some of these other ones, in order to like continue to raise money or to build awareness, when you get somebody major attached to the property, you want to announce it. So, for example, The Rosie Project, which has no date, but Jennifer Lawrence was announced. It's an Australian comedy, so it was a little controversial because Jennifer Lawrence is not going to play Australian. She's not going to do the accent. She's going to be American in the film, at least for now. Mm. You know, things can change. Yeah. Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which Maria Semple had a lot of Hollywood ties. So that was – and when that became a huge hit, that was expected to get a field adaptation. Cate Blanchett is attached to that. I was interested in Little B because I know that's been in development for a long time. I haven't heard that it's not. Nicole Kidman was attached to it, and Chris Cleave is coming for two books later on May 5th for his World War II novel, Everyone Brave is Forgiven, which I actually just read.
Did you like it?
Oh, yes.
Like,
he's a wonderful
Everyone
writer.
Brave is Forgiven.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is – you know, it does – you know, Americans – if you read A Life After Life by Kate Atkinson, Americans have this, you know, understand the devastation of World War One. Now we've certainly had that on. But World War Two, we went in late and we were the champions. And I think we sometimes we know who the enemy was. And so we don't really understand how devastating it was for the people involved. And this book is about the siege of London, the bomb shelling of London and the siege of Malta is what happens. It's a love triangle of sorts, really interesting book. And it also talks about how in the face, you know, that prejudice and class difference, doesn't stop just because there's a war on, you know, so... I really enjoyed it a lot. First They Killed My Father by Long Ung. I found the movie tie-in for that. That's been attached to Angelina Jolie Pitt for a number of years. The amazing thing is that Long Ung is actually appearing tomorrow at University School as part of their Global Fest. It's actually a free event. You just have to register. You go on the University School site, and they just want to make sure they know who's coming so that they have enough space for them. So that's pretty amazing. And Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman. That's a book that people have really loved. It's another Australian novel. I think 2 or 3 years ago I was calling it the Australian Revolution or something like that, just because there were just so many popular Australian novels. And that's died down a little, but now they all have to become movies. And it's a drama, a classic historical period drama, and that book was supposed to come out this year, and so we knew whether the studio was going to dump it or not, because when it got delayed off of fall, they didn't move it to first quarter where movies go to die or to video on demand automatically. They're moving it all the way to fourth quarter of 2016. I talked to somebody at the publisher who saw the trailer, the first, you know, not the final trailer, but a trailer for The Light Between Oceans. And she said it was just amazing. And so that's really exciting. And I think Michael Fassbender and Alicia Vikander are, and I can't pronounce people's names and I apologize, are both attached to it. And she just won last night for Best Supporting Actress. For Danish Girl.
Yes.
The David Ebershoff book, which I also read.
Yeah, and you like that?
I did. It was so many years. Once again, years ago.
It was written that long ago?
Well, has written two novels since, both of which were great. And he took a long time for books because he was also editing Pulitzer Prize winning writers at Random House. He won 2 years ago, I think he had edited two of the Pulitzer Prize winners, but he has left Random House and he's writing full time, so his books are going to come a little more frequently now. Yeah. But yeah, that's what Danish Girl came from. So that was really exciting. And In a Dark, Dark Wood by Ruth Ware is coming this summer. Another John le Carré adaptation. You know, they do change. This is one of those things. Space books work. So you see space books. John le Carré works on the art market. They tend to perform pretty well. So you keep seeing John le Carré adaptations.
Do you like John le Carré?
You know what? I've only read one. So I have read John le Carré like things. I've read... Right. Several of the other writers that are not thrillers, more but espionage. I always think of that as like the cerebral thriller. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've liked them. But I have to say, and the other thing I like about them is they tend not to be in series like Mystery. And I'm not a series reader, so I read one book in a series and then I move on. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't tend to repeat. I mean, I know there's more than one Smiley book, but... So I don't. Are you a big fan of Le Carré?
My husband, he's read everything, and
it's
so
fiction. Yeah. So you're not interested.
I am interested. I just don't have time. I was on vacation for a week, and who did I read? Marilynne Robinson.
Oh,
I love Marilynne Robinson. I'm reading it again.
Okay. Have you read all her books?
No, I haven't.
You know, you really should because they all tie. They all connect to each other.
I know.
One of the hot things in what you're seeing in fiction is these companion books where one book, you know, there's a book through one person's perspective and then there's another book through another person's perspective connected. And so all Gilead Holm and Lila are the husband, the wife, and the friend.
Yeah.
Are all, and so you actually, so Lila, which was in the current book, was a character in the other books. And you just never really, but this is, you get to see all the internal, her internal life. Mm. And nobody can write about theology. Like
nobody can.
Her.
And it's so
unusual, especially for Protestant, you know, Protestant theology. You know, it's just uncommon to be writing fiction. And she's so knowledgeable and has
so
such a
things.
Vision of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And beautiful writer, too.
Beautiful writer. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Daniel.
Pleasure.
You're just great. Thank you for your book story.
So
thanks for all the... I don't know how you do it.
Keep
I mean,
you're
really.
Great too.
I hope you get some sleep sometime because you do so much.
I had a lot of coffee today because last night I did not get a lot of sleep. I had
a
lot of things
cup of
too.
Coffee. Yeah, coffee. That sounds good. But coffee is the roar of the year. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Awesome.
Daniel Golden, we just love him. He and all those films that he talked about and more are on our Facebook page because he went the extra mile and put together this wonderful list. So go to the Kathleen Dunn Show and you can find it there. It's just good. We love having him here. And we love books. All right, I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. This is also, we got to move here because this is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio membership drive, and your gift of $5 or $10 or $15 a month will make us the reliable station that it is. We'll keep giving you interviews with authors. We'll have Daniel come on the air frequently to give you suggestions for books. We're all readers. So give now, you readers, you, at WPR.org or 888. Oh, we're moving along, aren't
we're
we?
We're moving
888-202-2552.
I know, we both got That's stuck good. In that driveway moment. We're just listening to Daniel and you talk about books and Marilynne Robinson.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of folks come through
Excellent.
For us this hour. 30 pledges already. We just need 9 more, so
okay.
we can do this. It's only a few more minutes left in the show. Make your gift to support this great program that you rely on every day. Your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 9 more people. All we need is
good. Let's do that. Let's go to 10 if we can. 10 is a better number, don't you think? I mean, 9's okay, but 10's really good. You know, you name it and you've heard about it here on the Ideas Network. This is one phenomenal operation. It is a valuable service, and it certainly is one that is worth supporting.
Yeah, make your contribution of $5, make your contribution of $10 a month. Whatever amount you can choose to help support the Ideas Network is the right amount. It's your chance to make the programs possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's get 10 more pledges. That would be terrific during our next few minutes here on the air. Every pledge will matter, and we thank you for every single pledge that helps pay for the programs. It helps pay for the programs. That's where it goes, that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift is important to us. Let's do 10 more pledges this hour. It'd be great. And here's how you give, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role in supporting WPR with the 9XM Leadership Circle. It's a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR.
Every pledge drive, we hear from people all over the country and even around the world. We get pledges from Texas, Alaska, Japan, and Germany.
Do you find something special here every single day that you tune in, no matter where you are? And it's all possible because of listeners who support us. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support makes WPR what it is, and that is a resource that you enjoy.
And we have 10 more pledges to go. We only have 4 minutes and 37 seconds. I just made that up to get there. So now is the time to pledge to keep, you know, intelligence on the radio and books on the radio. You know, do it for that. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. Do it for that. Do it for the T-shirt, too.
Do it for the T-shirt?
Yeah. It's $10 a month. It's a you got a great T-shirt.
And books.
Because you can support WPR. You can walk around and tell everyone how much you love it by wearing your T-shirt.
All right. You convinced me. 888-202-2552. Thanks, KP. Thanks so much to Daniel Golden as well. Thanks to Scotty Myers, who produced this show, and to Kendra Smith for on-air production. And thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. 10 more. Let's do it. 888-202-2552, WPR.org. Thank you.